creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast. Something about you.
It's Tuesday, October 16th, 2018, and it's the Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and here with me in our Orlando studio, our illustrious engineer, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
On the Skype line from Loverland, Virginia, Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
All the way from Nashville, Tennessee, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody.
And still hanging out with whales in San Antonio, Texas, author, speaker, podcaster, aspiring cowgirl, and fish connoisseur.
Orca burger aficionado.
That's the best
one yet. Rare
Good
seafood,
morning, gents. Is what
rare
I'm supposed to
seafood
say next.
Connoisseur. Yeah, endangered seafood connoisseur.
Annie oh F. my God!
If you heard Friday's episode, you know that Annie is there with some friends, and she went to SeaWorld.
So we're referencing old jokes.
Listen to Friday's show if you didn't.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a great show in store for you today. Jesus Culture joins us. They're coming up later. They came through our studio recently and performed a couple of acoustic songs from their new album, and it is phenomenal. Not only will you get the audio performance here today, but we are going to post the videos of the performances as well. You'll see them on Relevant TV. Can I say something? About a week and a half ago, we had For King and Country on the Friday episode. For King and Country, a week and a half ago, played the songs just like you're gonna hear Jesus Culture today. Played two songs here in our studio recently. We put the videos up online, Relevant TV on the Relevant YouTube channel. You need to watch them. I mean,
they're awesome.
I mean, it was like they literally, I wasn't exaggerating, they crammed 20 musicians into our studio, and the energy of the performance and how it was stripped down but so energetic and so catchy. Our video team did an amazing job, I thought, but the band was incredible. You need to go watch those videos. Likewise, while you're there, watch the performances you're about to hear today from Jesus Culture as well.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's so cool to see bands come through the studio and, you know, they do things that are so exclusive to us. Like they're, you know, it was like when Johnny Swim did their kind of like the stripped down set. All the performances are so fun to watch. And see what.
Well, you need to be careful. Abner didn't strip down.
Well, not in the one that we posted. Not in the. That's true. They asked us not to post that.
Not the
They were not happy. Gosh. You know, all I'm saying is keep an eye out for what we're posting.
If you host a video service and you'd be interested in that video, then hit us up. We are struggling to find it.
The one where Abner slowly unbuttoned his Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Can I tell you guys something I've been thinking about before we dive into the show? Because we got a lot to get to. I understand. But on the last episode, we were talking about like old Christian culture stuff, like the Power Team. And I recently stumbled upon a Christian culture relic that I remember from my childhood, and something jumped out at me. Did you guys, when you growing up, how often did you go to like the Christian bookstore? Was that something that
weekly. Weekly.
My grandparents owned it, and I lived right down the street from them. So yeah, I would go in. And
what? Tyler, your grandparents owned a Christian bookstore?
Yeah, Treasures of the Heart in Holdridge, Nebraska.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I remember about Treasures of the Heart. I love it. Is it still open?
I love it too.
Oh no, no, it got bought out by Big Christian. So
okay. We won't name any names, but they took a way of life away. Let's just say that a way of life.
They robbed the treasure of this heart. We're good.
So I remember like going to the Christian bookstore growing up, and there's always like three or four paintings that were always for sale on the wall. One or two like Thomas Kincaid's, you know,
yeah, painter always of life. Then they had
like the beach scene where it's like the footprints in the sand go down to one because Jesus started carrying them. You know, we all know that one. There was one that really disturbed me as a child, which I recently encountered again online. And it's a guy, and he's like in his apartment, and he's like shooting up drugs into his arm, but Jesus is behind him, and it's actually Jesus's arm. Are you guys familiar with this piece of art?
I can see it.
I can picture it, but I don't remember it.
Cameron, do you remember that painting?
I do not remember that painting.
It's Jesus sticking his arm out like he's catching, he's intercepting the drugs, the heroin.
Chandler, you remember what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Why would somebody hang that in their home, though?
I know. Why would you want that?
Very it's very odd. Image.
It's extremely graphic. It's like extremely. It's like you couldn't put this on television.
I mean, I could see maybe like a ministry or whatever, maybe having it in their like waiting room or something. I don't know, but like at home, that'd
it's
be
not
strange.
Something you want in your foyer. Yeah.
So right next to the Kincaid.
Yeah, right next. I got a nice cottage by a stream at nighttime with like street lights illuminating a stone pathway, and I have a drug addict shooting heroin into Jesus's arm. But I stumbled upon the painting recently again.
Wait, how? How did you stumble onto it?
I go down so many random rabbit holes, Annie. It doesn't matter.
That's unfortunate. That's half the joy to
when
me.
When I open my laptop in the morning, like the 20 tabs from 2 o'clock in the morning are still open. I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I got down that rabbit hole. Yeah. And that
it's a
one,
dark moment.
Yeah. Do you ever like in the morning go, oh man, I don't know if I remember all of them.
It's dark. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh, man.
But they
Googling
come back
regrets.
To me. They come back to me at weird times. And, but I don't know how I stumbled upon this. I could have intentionally sought it out. I don't remember, to be honest with you, Annie, but I was looking at the painting again because I remembered it so distinctly from my childhood. And I figured
I just
that's
Googled
like a weird,
it and I'm looking at it right now.
I figured it's like a weird shared memory that a lot of people like Christians of our age have. And I noticed so many weird things here's briefly,
I'm pulling it up.
Okay. He's sitting at a table.
It's like a junkie's house. It's like falling apart. This is, very decrepit. There's a side table.
Yes. But there's one item that really jumped out at me in my last viewing of this painting. Okay, so describe what's in front of him, Cameron. He's obviously been, this man's been
there's like a dining table that's got a big ashtray full of, I'm going 30 used cigarettes. They're still smoking. There's
still
a lit
smoking.
Candle. There's two playing cards.
He appears to have a not terrible hand of Texas Hold'em in front of him.
He's got a pair of queens.
That's not his worst deal
there.
He's ever gotten. Yeah,
he's got
that's
a
right.
full glass of whiskey on the rocks with a bottle next to it that's half empty.
Yeah.
He's got a small mirror with cocaine neatly organized into lines.
Yeah.
He's got what I assume to be a loaded gun laying there. And what is that? A chili pepper? What is that?
That's a lighter.
It's a lighter.
That's his lighter.
It's a lighter. Okay.
Okay.
It's a lighter.
Okay, before you go too further, on the other side table is a human skull, which is
a human skull.
All of that I get. All of that,
I know what
no matter what
say,
your
Jesse.
Vice is, Jesus is there and he's got your arm. I don't really, the message doesn't fully translate here. It's a little lost. But here's what jumped out at me, because there's a human skull, there's all manner of drugs. Cameron, tell them what is hanging on the doorknob
on the
behind
door.
Him.
What are those nunchucks?
He's got nunchucks hanging on the doorknob. So you're
Why?
Telling me this drug addict, okay, who is simultaneously high on heroin, cocaine, is drinking an entire bottle of whiskey and smoke 30 cigarettes. Can still use nunchucks. Nunchucks are the hardest weapon there are. You are more likely to injure yourself with nunchucks than literally any other weapon possible. This guy is a kung fu master that I think can handle all of these in his system. Like nunchucks. Like when the artist was painting this, it's like, oh, you know what? He's probably drinking whiskey too. He probably dabbles in the dark arts. I think I need a human skull. Man. This is a bad dude. I think he's got nunchucks and he hangs them. He hangs them on the doorknob. So before he goes out, he brings them with him.
He's wearing blue jeans too and a black t-shirt. I mean, he's a
Tank
rough
top,
dude.
And did y'all notice there actually isn't two arms? Like it's not like his arm has been moved out of the way. He and Jesus have it's one arm. Both, it is like coming out of his left shoulder. It's his arm and Jesus's arm together.
It's as if him and Jesus are the most uncomfortable Siamese twins ever.
It's super uncomfortable.
They're not like
if only
side
one of you
side.
Wants to be a drug user. It's really, it's emotionally uncomfortable too.
Consider the possibility that the human skull is actually not a witchcraft situation, but this is his fallen foe who he took out with a pair of nunchucks. Now it's like a telltale heart Edgar Allan Poe situation where he's been slowly driven to madness by the skull that faces him every day. He's like losing his grip on reality. He's forced to cope by using, by putting these things into his system. He's coping medically. And now Jesus, I don't know if that's a manifestation of his delusions or if it's like a the salvific picture that we're kind of interpreting it as.
Oil on canvas, 18 inches by 21, available now at Treasures of the Heart, on sale for only $249.99.
You need to buy that and hang in the office somewhere, probably right behind your desk.
Where would that be hung? Not at a rehab facility, and they're not going to hang it up in a living room.
I feel like it'd be a little triggering at a rehab facility.
Right. Who's going to have that?
I think it's just the church offices. You know, you're walking back to see Pastor Bob.
Like
it's just
hallway
in the hallway
that has all the paintings on it that used to have the 12 disciples, and now they're trying to put up more modern art.
Well, and they're like wanting to be like, we're in a ministry reaching those who, you know, the world is left behind, and it's a reminder.
Oh, wow.
You know? I'm curious about the theological implications of this, because if they're saying like, no, Jesus is taking the drugs for him so that he doesn't hurt himself. And does that also mean Jesus is swinging the nunchucks, or at least when the nunchucks are in his left hand,
Jesus,
which is
showed
probably
up with 50%
of the time?
Those are Jesus's. Those aren't the guys, Jesse. Jesus showed up with those.
There's just a lot to unpack in this painting, and I stumbled upon it. I needed to talk about it, and I'm glad you guys are there for me. That's all. Let's hang it on the podcast episode.
What's the deal with the handprint? That's what I want to know, because I feel like it's in there for a reason.
Yeah, I am wondering about the handprint.
There's this on the door to leave. There's a big left hand print that's like very much darker. Like it was a very dirty, dirty hand that pressed the door shut. It's strange.
There's a lot going on. It's a lot happening, and I just needed to get off my chest. I don't want to spend another sleepless night thinking about this.
I do want to see the sequel to this painting where Jesus takes the nunchuck hit to the head that this guy is trying to give someone else.
Right.
If you had someone attached to your left arm, it'd be that much harder to swing nunchucks effectively.
That is just one of the most terrible paintings I've ever looked at, Jesse.
I wish you
wouldn't offer Jesse's art corner on the podcast ever again.
Well, maybe if we bought more of it, Treasures of the Heart would still be open.
If we have a contest, hey.
You guys are too good for the paint, for the art.
The next listener contest absolutely is going to be that painting in a frame signed by all of us.
Oh, gosh, no. That's for whoever loses the contest.
In the early days of Relevant, my office, I had a lot of Christian tchotchkes, a lot of Christian culture tchotchkes and stuff like that. One of my favorite ones I came across from the Treasures of the Heart era was a line of ceramic figurines for Catholic children. That's how it was marketed. Mm-hmm. And it was Jesus participating with the children in their everyday lives and sports activities. And these were like just little ceramic figurines of Jesus and the children. So the children, like the boy was up to bat in Little League, and full grown Jesus was draped over him, also holding the bat. You know,
I do remember that one.
Do you remember that one? And then one was the kids playing football, and Jesus is getting the handoff. And there's
Redoption Jesus.
Redoption Jesus. And this kid is plowing into our Lord and Savior, like head first, you know, to take him out. You know, like it's a whole bunch of inappropriate Jesus figurines that I had on my shelf.
Unnecessary roughness Jesus. That's what that one was. There's a lot of great Jesus art out there.
There's a lot of great. I think we've talked about the figurines. I think, Jesse, maybe you and I have even written about it on the website.
Oh,
Stiff Arm Jesus.
Yeah, there's
just like body checking a little kid out of the way in football.
I do think for the next contest, we order this magnificent painting of deliverance from drug abuse and nunchuck use, and sign it and give it to a listener who
those paintings are so overpriced, man. Like those Kincaids and these these prints are hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Some people invest their money. Some, you know how there's like a whole cryptocurrency market that people are like converting their savings. There are people who converted their savings to Kincaids.
No.
when the time comes and the economy collapses, your wish that you were trading in Kincaid's at that. Who's laughing then? When I got
I'm still laughing. I don't care. I'm still laughing.
Of cottages from the Painter of Light himself.
I do enjoy a Kincaid puzzle about once a year, though. I'll tell you the truth. Sitting down with the family around a Kincaid puzzle, that's not the worst experience. 5,000 piece Kincaid
puzzle, you know?
it's tough because there's another point of light on every single piece, so you can't even tell. Right. They all look the exact same. Right.
This one, you need the piece with the sparkle, like a shimmer kind of a thing. Oh, that's all of them. Oh, man. Like, they all have little.
Yeah. I got the piece that's a snow covered section of a cottage roof. Got anybody it. Else? Literally 4,000 of the pieces are part of a snow covered cottage roof. So
I need a piece that shows like a little bit of a candle glow. It's like coming through a window. Oh, man, there's 18 of those windows. I don't.
Yeah. I got the nunchuck piece. I got a piece that this is clearly nunchucks. That's Does anyone know?
I want to convert some of these other Jesus art pieces to 1,000-piece puzzles. That would be a very interesting That's Christmas holiday with the family. Where you're like, all right, Grandma, who has the cocaine puzzle piece?
I got a pair of queens, two queens.
I got queens right here. I have a syringe. Anybody looking for the tip of the syringe? I got the syringe.
I have an arm. I think it's Jesus's and the guy's shared arm. And I don't know. I don't know.
There's three arms in this puzzle. Who lost the fourth
arm? I'm missing an arm.
No, there's not a fourth arm.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, moving the show along. If you listen to For King and Country's performance a week and a half ago, you know that we kind of messed with the flow and the format of the show. We're going to do that again today. So normally on our Friday or our Tuesday show, we do slices. And then obviously later we're going to have our Ask Jesse segment. We're still doing all that. But we're just kind of going to mix up the order because Jesus Culture performed two songs. We want to play them for you. We're going to put slices right in the middle. So we're going to take a break right now and stay tuned because coming up next, Jesus Culture joins us. Yeah. Do you feel like no one knows you? And you got nobody to run to in this cold world that you were born to? Tell me right now, what's weighing on your mind? Is something going to break you now? You know you got to try. Try when it's going down. Emotions go firing like explosions. I'm caught up in the moment sometimes. Yes, I'm tired cause I'm running, but catching up to nothing. I need someone to love me sometimes. You're listening to Max Frost. The song is Sometimes. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Hello Goodbye with Solely Natural. Well, today's show is sponsored by Squarespace. Whether you need a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store, it's all included with your Squarespace website. I'm actually helping a friend right now with a portfolio site. Hmm. So I just launched a Squarespace build.
Is this friend recently. An artist who does pictures of Jesus in the lives of drug-addicted nunchuck users?
Oh my gosh.
The portfolio is one picture of just that over.
Building a site with Squarespace is easy. It's a simple, intuitive process. You can add and arrange your content and features with a click of a mouse. Squarespace also makes adding a domain to your site simple. If you sign up for a year, you receive a custom domain for free for that year. You can design a best-in-class online store even using Squarespace's award-winning templates, customizable settings, and more, all without a single plugin. From nationally recognized brands to your favorite local shops, Squarespace is trusted by hundreds of thousands of savvy shop owners around the world, including all the tools you need to track inventory, process orders, and send custom emails in one intuitive interface. Squarespace Commerce allows you to understand every aspect of your business. Tyler, this is how you get your Christian painting puzzle business up and running.
That's exactly right.
What do you think I've been doing during this whole announcement?
What are we going to call it though, Tyler? What's your .com going to be, buddy?
Editorial question of the week. I'm open to any
What's Christian puzzle? Yeah.
Puzzle company called.
I'm just buying up URLs right now. So you come at me, I'll purchase it. We'll figure it out later.
That's so good.
And right now, Squarespace has a special offer for Relevant podcast listeners. You can go to squarespace.com/relevant for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your site, use the offer code relevant to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace, set your website apart.
including Tyler's new business, Prince of Pieces, a Christian puzzle business.
Oh, great. Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, Jesse, thanks that's for doing
good.
That.
Prince
that
of 5,000 pieces. Yeah, it's
that was really
a great business.
Great business. In their latest release, Living with a Fire, Jesus Culture has captured a collection of songs that carry a message of hope, joy, and a passionate pursuit of the presence of God. Living with a Fire is an encouragement to the church to invite God to ignite passion in our hearts, to contend for that passion, and to never let the flame burn out. Chris Kilala and Kim Walker-Smith and a couple members of the band came through our studio recently, performed a couple of acoustic versions of songs from the album. It's incredible. Now performing their new single, Freedom. Here is Jesus Culture.
Step out of the shadows, come out of the grave. Break into the wild, and don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. Oh, the Spirit here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom. Bring all of your burdens, bring all of your scars. Come back to communion. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, graces waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the will fall, prison shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Chains will fall, prison shake at the sound of Jesus' name.
That was Jesus Culture. Make sure to check out their new album, Living with a Fire. It's out now. Hey.
Yeah. I'm coming in. Wake 'em up. Wake 'em up. Wake 'em up. Wake 'em up. See, I'm still sleeping, so I had to shake 'em up. Shake 'em up. I kept it too real. Yeah. I wasn't faking up. No. My real life was a headline. Your real life got a deadline. My timeline was a hashtag. Yeah. Your
your timeline, just a hate crime coming in hot, feeling like pop, back in I-4 when he took 5 shots, too much drive to ride your wave, ditch my top and I'm off that lot. Black on black on black on black on black on black on black. You don't have to ball a rap to get them racks on racks. Uber poolers trying to catch my vibe and find my way. Yeah, I know I'm ratchet, but I'm really safe. Hot sauce dripping. Everybody wanna start dipping. First nobody wanna listen. Now everybody pay attention. Now everybody pay fee. Even Trump gotta take a knee. When the horn blow, y'all gonna see. Make the wall fall down like yee.
You're listening to Lecrae and Andy Mineo with their new single, Coming In Hot, which ironically is coming in hot. Okay, it's time for slices. What do you have, Jesse?
All right, so I know a few weeks ago we talked about Guinness World Records. I stumbled upon one this week that I have to talk about. It's from a man named Anthony Kelly. I've seen Anthony Kelly's videos before, and you may have too if you've gone this down the same rabbit holes I have. This is the man who can yank arrows out of the air when they're shot from a bow and arrow. Tyler, have you seen this guy?
No, I've never even heard of this, but I'm on board.
Yeah, no, me neither.
So this guy, you can shoot an arrow and he will grab it out of the air, right?
What?
So that's it's insane.
That can't be done.
Chandler, I know I'm asking you to post or Mark a lot on the episode page. I'm going to embed a video that's going to blow people's minds of this cat pulling arrows out of the air. He just set a new world record. He right now is part of an exclusive club that holds 50 or more Guinness World Records. Most of his is for yanking things out of the air that are moving fast. You can shoot a paintball and Anthony can clap and catch it without it bursting. A paintball. That's how fast this man's hands are. He has set the world record for the fastest tennis ball ever caught with one hand.
What?
Over 150 miles an hour. Bare hand ball. No mitt. Bare hand.
That's stupid.
This is fascinating, not just because he can do these feats of strength. There's a part of his story that's been buried that I find incredible. So he credits this ability to yank things out of the air that are moving very fast with two things. One is he practices opening and closing his hands, as fast as he can. Guess what his personal record for when he practices opening and closing his hands in 5 seconds is. Guess what his personal best is?
Opening and closing his hands.
In 5 seconds. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Just opening, closing, opening, closing. 5 seconds. Guess.
10 times.
Tyler.
More than 10. I'm going to say 20.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. I have no idea.
85.
85. No, that can't be true.
That is like bullet time. That is the Matrix.
That's
right
insane.
There.
That's insane.
I can't even do. I can't even do that 85 times in 5 seconds. That's insane.
There's nothing. That's how. Is there a video that we can watch?
Yes, there's tons of videos of this guy you can watch. It's insane. I don't know if he has his hand opening closing one, but when you see what he can do, you won't be surprised at all. Okay, he credits this with one thing. Okay, that he has this amazing hand speed that the world has never seen anything like it. He's in his 50s. Okay. Here is the one thing he credits the success to.
He has daily quiet time with the Lord.
Lots of diet
Colossians 4:15. The power team. Yeah. Okay. He claims, and this man is in his 50s and he's Australian. Okay. So, you know, he's lived a normal. Yeah.
Can we push the Adam
Hillsong
Smith button on this one and get Adam involved?
He claims to have never in his life eaten a fruit or a vegetable.
One, that's how you
never
found this.
Once in his life. All he eats. I will say this. What's a potato?
That's dairy.
A vegetable, right? A potato?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aside from potatoes,
a starch. You call it just a starch.
A root.
You don't have to call it a vegetable.
It's a root.
It's a root vegetable.
So all he eats is meat and potatoes and has never had one fruit or vegetable pass through his lips. Ever.
And he's in his 50s
and he says if more people would do this, they would discover these insane superpowers. Like
what kind of parents raise a kid from in childhood and never give them a fruit or
the
a
parent
vegetable?
Of the coolest guy on earth, of
nope.
Real life superhero.
He's missing out.
85 times open and close his hands in 5 seconds because he's never eaten a fruit or vegetable. I'm in on this guy.
I know you are.
Like, whatever he's doing, I am doing. I'm done with fruits and vegetables. Like, why eat them when I have a specimen of humanity that is doing... He can pull a paintball out of the air, Okay, think about that. A paintball out of the air because he
his
doesn't eat fruit
and
vegetables.
His hands must be so tough. The muscle, like, he must be able to.
Well, he's Australian.
I can't imagine how that doesn't
hurt. Have you ever shaken a hand with an Australian? It is like grabbing a catcher's mitt.
Yeah.
It is. The entire
beefy,
country.
They got beefy digits. Beefy digits.
Oh my gosh, Australians. Humans with beefy
digits. The land of beefy digits. No, but I'm just saying.
They're wrestling kangaroos. They're like, they're surfing. They're like punching sharks out there while they're in the waves. It's like they have to have strong claws. Yeah.
Oh.
Everything out there wants to kill you, and the only way to avert them is with your own two hands and your own. And this guy's mastered it because he never eats fruits and vegetables. I get people give me a hard time about my diet all the time, and I'm going to point to this hero and be like, "Oh, that's cool. Let me see how fast you can open and close your hand in 5 seconds. I'm counting right now.
Right.
And if it's below 70, I'm going to be very unimpressed, and I'm not going to eat any vegetables or fruits." He's a hero, and he's proved another theory of mine about nutrition is that the whole fruits and vegetable thing, the whole food pyramid is a big, uninformed lie perpetrated by Chiquita Banana and other, fruit companies. I don't believe
it. Big Chiquita.
Wow.
Big Chiquita.
Big Chiquita. As soon as a fruit eater does this, I'll believe it. I'll believe that they can do it. Otherwise, I'm sticking with my heavy digited hand from down under. 85 in 5 seconds.
I just need to know again, the interesting thing to me about you, Jesse, is how you get where you get. I like the journey, not just the destination. And it makes me wonder if you Googled what happens if you don't eat fruits and vegetables.
No, Annie, I will say this. You don't want to know about the journey. The journey goes through some dark corners of the web. And for me to come out on the other side, trust me, you just want to know the destination.
if you follow Jesse's advice, you're going to end up with rickets. You're going to end up with, I'm just trying to think
scurvy,
all the natural outcomes.
Scurvy and rickets.
Yeah, scurvy and rickets.
Okay, and beefy digits, apparently.
Really, really meaty
risk
paws.
Reward benefit. The risk is I die of both scurvy and rickets at the same time. The benefit is if someone shoots a paintball, I can grab it out of the air and close my hand very quickly.
And I feel like you'd get your own. I feel like you get your own world record if you died of scurvy and rickets at the same time, right?
Yeah. That happened to most pirates died that way. So.
Oh, okay. Well, to die like a pirate is there is no higher feat.
Everyone dies sometime. Not everybody catches an arrow out of the air.
Not everybody dies like a pirate.
Thank you, Tyler. I'm with you.
Everyone will die, but not everyone will die like a pirate.
All right. What do you have, Tyler?
So this is hopefully going to launch an interesting conversation. I have a lot of thoughts about it. Jesse, I know where you're at on cryptozoology. You're for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Yeah. The study of it in general. Absolutely.
There's only things to gain.
There are only things to gain.
For the uninformed, Tyler Huckabee, give us the elevator pitch of cryptozoology. What is it? The study
cryptozoology of? Is zoology, but mysterious. Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the abominable snowman, animals that skeptics will tell you are not real.
Essentially, Jesse's browser history from last night.
The hard science of cryptozoology will tell you that not only are they real, but they are trying to communicate with us.
Well, okay, here's the thing. A few years ago, I introduced on this podcast an animal none of us had ever knew and sounds like cryptozoology, the flying fox.
Oh, yeah.
We looked at pictures and posted him, and it doesn't look like anything out of reality. It's a dog with bat wings on it.
It's beautiful.
I found a new animal that I'm really into right now. The Tasmanian tiger. Have you guys seen this thing? It's
no,
like a dog. It's a dog tiger hybrid with a big rat tail. I promise you.
You are lying. Tasmanian tiger.
They're technically went extinct, but some people think there's still a couple out there. There you can see
in
actual
Tasmania?
Pictures. You can see actual pictures. It looks like a dog and a tiger mix, and it's got a giant tail of a rat. It is awesome.
We need to push the Adam Smith button here.
I think we're all in the zone.
I'm looking at pictures of it.
Hoping to get us to right now. I think we're all there. Got so it. This story, this slice, this hard science comes from Canada, our neighbors to the north. And apparently in a city in Canada, which I hope I'm going to pronounce Okanagan, Canada. They have long had rumors of a creature living in a lake around there that they call the Ogopogo. That dates
I love this so much.
Actually, to the indigenous people who lived there had stories about this too, but it's been spotted several times since, and even in recent times. And this thing has been spotted three times in the last month, including one video that was posted to YouTube.
No way.
What does Ogopogo look like?
Yeah, what does it look like?
Ogopogo is by this guy's estimation about 15 meters long. It has a long body with several bumps and the head of a horse. This is a very common trait in cryptozoology, the horse head thing. And then when you see it, you're like, I guess I can kind of see a horse in there. Not unlike the Loch Ness monster, but less bulbous, like kind of a slimmer Loch Ness
this
monster creature.
This is right down the road from us.
Yeah, right up there. There's only one video that was captured and posted to YouTube, about 45 seconds of, you can see this creature sort of breaching in and out of the water. And then it was spotted two other times in just a couple weeks after, once from an office building that was up above the lake, and then once from the top of a parking garage. So this thing 100% exists, like, obviously. Three people aren't going to lie.
At this point, it's fact.
Right.
We got corroborated.
Confirmation from three wise elders.
People who have no reason to tell a story here.
Who happen to be walking through a parking garage overlooking.
Yeah.
Lake. Yeah. They have no reason to lie.
And the Ogopogo. Where are you guys at? Jesse, I know where you stand because you're a man of science. I know where I stand. I believe what I read. Annie and Cameron, I don't know where you're at. Like the Loch Ness monster, like scale of one. It does not exist. Scale.
Well, Annie, you're the conspiracy person. So what have you concluded?
100% I believe in the Loch Ness monster. Do y'all know, we ever talked about that I got baptized in Loch Ness? Do y'all know that?
No.
What? Yes.
Did you see anything down there?
Yes. Like nibble on your toes?
Me and the Loch Ness monster together. So I'm 100% in on all of these. Bigfoot, Loch Ness, this horse-headed thing.
I think you're technically like a Celtic witch.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what religion baptized you in the Loch Ness? Were you submitting your life to Nelly?
Yeah, it was
to
Nessie. Well, I will say this: Annie, for a brief time, was a Celtic pagan, and this was. I think technically you were a witch at that point, right?
Well, she talks about it extensively in chapter 7 in Remember God. See, because she forgot God for a while. She
dabbled in paganism,
and then the big twist at the end, she comes back and remembers God.
Yeah. But still,
to my knowledge, it was a Nordic deity. Pretty evil, pretty weird. I dabbled. It was a dabble, But they were really involved in like nunchucks and stuff, and just got a little weird.
But I always got a good hand in cards.
So. No, but hey, you really, like, without a wink, without being like, you really do truly believe in the Loch Ness monster, or are you just saying that?
Oh, I know. I totally think there could be an animal, like a dinosaur-like animal, that has existed in the bottom of Loch Ness for a lot of years.
What is it eating? What's the food supply to keep such a massive beast alive?
There's fish.
Well, according to the Nordic Celtic deity, souls. It is eating souls of people baptized
in the Loch Ness.
Wait, do y'all not believe in the Loch Ness monster?
I'm with you. I believe that there could be something down there. I don't know any reason not to.
I don't really.
Yeah. You don't, Chandler?
No, not really. I mean, at this point, I feel like there would be good picture of it or something.
My thing is, they have sonar equipment now. Yeah, we don't need a 1932 blurry black and white thing.
It would be a different back then.
Literally, they could just shoot they found the Titanic. I mean, like, literally, they can
same
canvas the entire Loch Ness very, very easily. Come on.
Well, they can't because it's so deep and there's so many caves. There's a bunch of caves under. That's the thing about Loch Ness.
They found the Titanic.
Yeah.
Titanic just went to the bottom of
Annie
an ocean.
Was baptized in the Loch Ness. You're going to tell a Celtic pagan priestess what monsters do and don't exist. The Loch Ness comes at her beck and call. If she goes to Loch Ness at midnight on Halloween and lights four candles, then the Loch Ness has to do what she says for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, because according to her tradition, there are druid underwater cave dwellers that will be summoned during the harvest moon.
Her underwater armies.
Do the math. You do the math on that one.
The problem is, all of our friends who listen are going to start creating graphics that I'm going to hate after this conversation.
I just think with sonar,
I loved the mother asparagus. This I'm not going to enjoy.
With the what we know about, I mean, we can see through mountains now. We can see into anything. I if there was anything down there. Scientists would know now.
I just wish you lived with a little more mystery in your life, Cameron Strang.
Also, for it to still exist, it would have to, there'd have to be more than one to reproduce. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the
thing.
Likelihood of
it's
it.
Like,
yeah.
It, yeah. Okay. So it's millions of years old by itself. That's a lonely life. Yeah. I think after a while, he just kind of pulls a Jon Stewart and says, I'm tired.
Not if he gains his youth from the souls that are baptized in his lake.
Do you think there's a real Loch Ness monster?
I think there could be a real Loch Ness monster. I think there could be. I definitely believe that there are animals in the ocean and possibly in Loch Ness that we don't really have, that we don't know about. Or
I completely agree with you on the ocean. Yeah. There are dinosaurs swimming in the depths of the ocean.
Why the ocean, but not a very deep lake?
It's so much bigger. It's way more vast.
The vastness of it, the entire ecosystems that we have no clue about. A confined body of water, I with one thing, and it's easily, science can see all the way what it needs to see.
You're two-sided.
No, the ocean is massive.
I think it's more plausible that there are dinosaur Loch Ness monster type creatures in the ocean than there are in Loch Ness proper.
Yeah.
I think it's almost certain. I think a lot of people would probably agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I but the Ogopogo definitely exists.
Oh, we're 100%.
It has the head of a horse. Can you tell me what else it has again one more time?
I'm interested in the location of this lake because it sounds like it's like a pond in an industrial park. Like, oh, Jimmy was on his lunch break looking out the window and saw Ogopogo. You know, like, where is this?
You know how Canada is. They got late. You can't fill in every lake in Canada. There's not enough concrete in the world.
Well, I'm willing to do a road trip. If that's what you guys are asking, I'm willing to go find Ogo. No, a good old-fashioned Ogopogo hunt. I'm in.
There really does seem to be, according to the news that I'm Googling so that I can see a picture of the Ogopogo, you're right, Tower. There really is a surge in people seeing this creature suddenly.
I mean, what would be the... I mean, the first person who takes a video has nothing to gain from this. Sure, some of the people who jump on the bandwagon may be just trying to get some media attention for it, but there's really not a lot. Like, you're not going to be famous because you said, hey, I saw this weird thing in the lake. I think it was the Ogopogo monster.
You'd be surprised what people think they'll get famous for, Tyler. We live in the same town. You know exactly.
That's true. But it's one thing to be like, I saw Taylor Swift. I saw Taylor Swift at the bar last night. Another thing to say, I saw a mythical creature.
Yeah, some people busk at the bus stop. Other people make up mythical creature sightings. I mean, there's two ways to fame in this country.
That's right.
In Canada. That's what we know for sure.
In Canada.
All right, what do you have, Amy?
Okay, in a surprising turn of events, I have the least ridiculous slice today. Did y'all know that recently scientists have connected the brains of three people, allowing them to send one another thoughts? So what they did is they connected their brains with EEGs, you know, like with where they put the little
EKGs,
pods.
Yeah.
And they had them play a game of Tetris. And two of the people would look at the screen and tell the third person whether to move to the right or to the left. And the third person would hear the thoughts in their head and then move the piece correctly. And in fact, they even sometimes had the other two that were connected tell the third person the wrong way to go just to make sure that the third person was actually hearing what they said they were hearing in their head. And it was working. They had connected all three brains. And the article is very clear to say, like, this is not telepathy. This is not like you can think and someone, this is literal science, that their brains were connected in a way that one person's thoughts went into the brain of another person's thoughts.
Wow.
Y'all.
How could they distinguish what they were, like, it was another person's thoughts? Like, I can't imagine that sensation.
Right.
You know, like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't either.
It was an 81.25% success rate in every trial that they did. And they did multiple trials of five groups of three people. So
were they thinking like left, right, up, down, or was it like a voice?
There were flashing lights on either side of the screen that said rotate or don't rotate. And they had to look at rotate or don't rotate. And the third person had to receive that signal and then just say rotate or don't rotate.
Was it a still small voice? Because I have a theory.
Your brain's connected to the Holy Spirit.
I don't know. Maybe it's just Holy Spirit convicting them. I don't know.
One time I started dabbling in nunchuckery. And I felt a very loud voice that said, this slippery slope, man. Next thing you know, you're shooting up playing solitaire with a loaded gun on the table.
I mean, what would y'all do if your brain could, if you could literally send a thought into someone else's brain? I would get into Jesse's brain. I would want Jesse. I'd connect to Jesse first and foremost of everyone I know on this planet. I'm
your
going
head
into
would
Jesse's
explode,
brain first.
Annie, right away. It would just...
You know, I would. Just, I want to know what happens in there so much.
Yeah, I want to be a part of this one of these studies where it's like, okay, guys, he's thinking about pizza again. He's hungry. He's pizza again. Derailed. Like, I mean, you can. I guess you have to focus on rotate, don't rotate in order to work. Mm-hmm. I assume, but I. So the implication is sometimes you at some point they'll be able to connect minds and have more sophisticated thoughts than just like yes or no, basically.
Yeah, right. That's what they're trying to test is in the long run, can we help each other that seriously that it could be a, you know, putting your thoughts in someone else's brain.
As long as I can control which thoughts, that'd be my concern is that the wrong stupid thought would go in there like, oh, Tyler's thinking about the Ogopogo monster again. Like I don't want people to know how much.
But the idea of you being able to play. So the third person who's receiving the thoughts couldn't even see the screen. To know whether, so you're not using any of your own ability. He literally was hearing rotate or don't rotate in his head head.
That's very strange.
And that's really strange, right?
I don't think you sold this short. You said this was not the weirdest slice that you brought to the table. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe. I'd be really proud if this concept gets weirder than the Ogopogo.
But it's like that Black Mirror episode where they can read recorded mm-hmm. thoughts, you know, like, you know, kind of read the impression of the mind's eye and then, you know, use it to solve crimes. Obviously.
Well, y'all make a listicle either publicly or just directly to me of the first 10 episodes of Black Mirror I should watch because you reference it so much, but there's so many.
Yeah, for you, your conspiracy mindedness, that's a show for you. Like,
yeah.
It is not about conspiracies, but it's about like, you know, exploring right. possible outcomes about things that we don't think about normally. It's the same.
I just like conspiracy theories to the degree that maybe there's more going on here than we realize. That's what I like. I like to stop right before I get deathly scared, which is a very fine line.
I will say this though. I saw a great quote about conspiracy theories the other day. It was no one who believes in conspiracy theories has ever been a project manager because like in order for some of these conspiracies to happen, so many people have to work in, like perfectly in tune and perfectly quietly that it's like, probably, you know, a lot of them are more fun to think about than, you know, to actually believe. But
that's why I don't believe in government conspiracy theories. Cause we see the government, stuff the government tries to keep quiet very unsuccessfully. Like they can't even keep track of who's resigning and who's not resigning. I don't think they can keep aliens in Area 51 straight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you don't believe, you think if there was something like, okay, now that you're president, you get privy to all this classified information about what's really been going on.
Yeah.
Think it would have come out
I don't think in
the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like the government
isn't run
by
geniuses. Or maybe that information is withheld from some particularly loose-lipped presidents who have a tendency to get on social media at very late at night and co-fecky things. You know, I don't know. It seems like there's some discretion on who's really in the inner circle.
Right.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Jesus Culture joins us for another amazing performance. He saw them, they saw. He saw us different. He should have gone to bed, but instead he stuck around for the moon. He saw them, they saw him, but everyone just kept on going. What he saw was different. He should have gone to bed, but instead he stuck around. You're listening to Men I Trust, song is 7. Well, when Jesus Culture was here, were they on tour? I'm trying to remember. I know they were here for a big concert, Rock the Universe. That's what it was. They were performing that night at Rock the Universe. If you have a chance to see them on tour, absolutely go do it. Or one of their conferences. I've been to a number of them. It's an amazing experience. They are very gifted. Chris Kalala's solo album that came out last year is actually one of my favorite albums. Like, it's worship and it's musically not, and like it's genre bending and doesn't fall into a neat category, and it's incredible. And Kim Walker Smith is one of the best vocalists you're ever going to hear. So imagine them together. It's pretty great. Well, performing a acoustic version of their new single, Awe, here is Jesus Culture.
For every tear there is a promise, a love that never lets me go. For every doubt your word speaks louder, and I will trust in you alone. Hands to the sky, heart open wide, I stand in awe of you. All my sins washed away on that glorious day. I stand in awe of you. Where there was fear, now there is freedom. I was lost, you made a way. Now mercy triumphs over judgment. When you rose up from that grave. Yeah, when you rose up from that grave. From heaven to die for me. Now death can only die. Your resurrection power is bursting alive in me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the King who left his throne. From heaven to die for me. Bursting alive, hands to the sky, and hands to the sky. Heart open wide, I stand in awe of you. All my sins washed away on that glorious day. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, yeah.
That was Jesus Culture. Make sure to check out their new album, Living with a Fire. It's out now. And go get Kim and Chris's solo albums too. They're great.
Many things have changed over the past 2,000 years. The good news of Jesus Christ is not one of them. The Ancient Modern Bible gives you the opportunity to encounter the Bible alongside the great voices of the church, past and present, with in-text commentary and biographies from Christian thinkers, including Augustine, Charles Spurgeon, C.S. Lewis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Eugene Peterson, and N.T. Wright. Full-color design that uniquely blends modern typography with traditional sacred elements. One faith, handed down for all the saints. The Ancient Modern Bible, available now at ancientmodernbible.com.
You're listening to Mansur Brown. The song is Back South. Okay. It's been rolling for about a month now.
Yeah.
We've been...
Just plug my brain up to Jesse's brain right here, right now. This Let's go. Thing.
Yeah. He always has such hesitation coming into this segment. Like, I can tell.
I do.
She looks visibly uncomfortable.
You guys, you're not... Everybody has situations in life where you need a little help, a little advice, right. a little expertise. Annie talks about this a lot, that when she gets a chance to talk to people on her podcast or in life who are a little bit further down the road, you know, like, what are the things we need to do to live our best lives now?
Right.
You guys have those same questions and we're here for you.
Right. And I'm talking advice of, you know, personal nature, romantic nature, legal, you know, consultation really is what it is. I mean, I've been disbarred from my ever attempting to practice law again, but I will be willing to dole it out here.
Willy-nilly, just left and right, what anybody wants.
That's right.
It is time for
Ask Jesse.
Ask Jesse. Where you guys tweet us your life questions and Jesse answers them. We've been scouring Twitter. There's a whole bunch. Here's a few for Jesse to tackle. Ty Hill tweeted us. I got married this past February as a 25-year-old, and my wife and I have been talking a lot about how long we should wait to have kids. And I think Jesse's input is really the only factor that matters. What do you think?
Wow. Oh, I mean, at this point, I would start and not stop till you can't. And, you know, I'm thinking you're going to want a herd of children. You know, here, like,
saving let's up those Thomas Kincaids.
Let's say, you know, if their benefits are multifaceted here, Ty.
Yeah.
Let's say like something.
What would be the benefit of having a gaggle of children? What's a benefit?
Well, let's say there's some sort of economic collapse and we go back to an agrarian society. They're basically your workers at that point.
Yeah, you've
built your own
farm hands. Yeah,
thank you. They're children / farm hands. The second is the more
it's
likely.
It's why the Amish are such a lasting people.
The more likely you see,
the cinnamon rolls, they're lasting because of those good cinnamon rolls.
Those fantastic rocking chairs. Good wood. Yeah. Wood's work. The other thing too is this, Ty. You're listening to this podcast. You're asking me a question. So I'm sure we think a lot about the same thing. So I talked about a guy earlier who experimented with his diet and lo and behold, there was great benefits. You have the more children you have, the more opportunities you have to do experiments with things like nutrition, sleeping habits, fitness that science may say is too, quote, unethical or something that can't be promoted by the medical establishment. Ty, these are your children. You're allowed to do whatever you want with them. Deprive some of fruits and vegetables. Make some sleep, you know, 30 minutes every hour. You have more opportunity to find out the limits and the far limits of human capability with all of these children of yours. Ty, the answer is obvious. Begin having children now. Don't stop till it's not possible to have any further and report back to me frequently. Answered question.
That is great advice.
I know.
Aaron Raimondi. Now, for people wondering, Jesse has not seen these questions. No preparation has taken place. Aaron Raimondi.
If anyone is wondering, are you kidding, Cameron? Do you think someone thinks Jesse's thought about this for 1 second before you read this out loud?
Please, Andy, I will not take your criticism and hatred and foolishness any longer. Please, Cameron, proceed with the question.
Okay. Aaron Raimondi says, I'm an English teacher in a small city in China. I'm leaving to return home to Florida in January, and I want to be the foreigner this town never forgets. What should I do to make a long-lasting impression before I return to the U.S.?
Everyone cannot see how much Cameron is even just giggling reading this question.
I love it.
What's the person's name, Cameron?
Erin Raimondi.
Oh, okay. Well,
E-R-I-N. It's a she.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. I know very little about Chinese culture, but I do know this. You can be a very average basketball or player or athlete here and be a superstar there. Like Jimmer Fredette could even hack it in the NBA. And he is like the Michael Jordan of China right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So here's my suggestion. You find an American sport that you're not even that good at. Practice up and become the next Tiger Woods of China or whatever it is. We've seen this happen play out with many athletes, whatever it is, you know, it's there for the taking. You could be a superstar in China. If what I've seen happen with basketball could work out, this is my suggestion. This one's easy. If I was a teacher in China, I would also be one of the great 3-point shooters that country has ever seen. And it would be, I would have statues in the street to me. And I don't know why this person doesn't already.
I thought for sure vandalism was coming. I thought.
I'll say this. Chinese prisons, foreign prisons in general.
That's no joke. He's been to Disney jail. He doesn't want to go to Chinese jail.
Yeah, exactly. I know enough.
That's a great point. That
to stay out of Chinese prison. I do know that.
Ethan asks Jesse, due to the type of work I do, I haven't lived in the same state or sometimes even the same country for longer than 3 months. Okay. I've been doing this for a year and have another year left of it. What is the best way to live a holistic lifestyle with this schedule?
He's sort of a drifter, this one.
Yeah, we don't know why. I mean, he might be a vagrant.
If somebody decide what his job is.
I'm thinking it's a classified information.
Yeah.
I think he's a circus clown.
Witness protection or carny. He's a carny. Let's face it.
He's a carny. That's totally what I think. I think he's a carny.
Due to the nature of my work, which is a carny. Yeah.
If he was really a carny, he'd have told us because he knows how much we love that people group, probably.
Well, I've said this before. Carnival workers are not welcome to write into this podcast. I've said it again, I don't trust most carnival workers. I've been bamboozled too many times at that laundry basket wiffle ball game. There's something they bounce out every time. I don't trust them. So he wants to live a holistic lifestyle while he's only spending 3 months in a city at a time, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I get. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is so easy. Adopt a different persona in each town and test one out for what you want to be later in life. Few of us have this opportunity. Like if you're going to go into Topeka for the next 90 days, why not be like an interesting Englishman who does equestrian on the side? No one knows your line. Then go test a different persona. Maybe one of these cities you can't even talk. This is a perfect opportunity to test out all the personas and lifestyles that you've been wanting to but can't because that most people can't because of normal life restrictions. You get a fresh slate every 3 months. You can literally be whoever you want to be and be as bad of a person or as good as you person. And you get a fresh start every 3 months. You only got a year left, dude. I would get on that right now. I would start practicing foreign accents. Try different. Yeah, I would be a golf kid at one town. You know, I would wear giant JNCO pants from Hot Topic and go full golf and just see what it's like for 3 months. Who cares? I'm resetting. I'm hitting the hard reset next 90 days. This is your opportunity to test personas. I'm surprised he hasn't done this already. That would be my dream. This was a great
That's
scenario.
That's like Alias. Did y'all ever watch Alias?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just like Alias where it was. That show is so fun to go back and watch how she changed
this person
characters
can do it in real
show.
Life. He gets a clean slate. This one, yeah.
I think if I were to if I needed a new persona, I would want to move into town as like the art dealer, like be the guy who shows it, like have a, like wear white suits everywhere and
oh,
be like
yeah.
a curator
like you,
in a museum.
Like you were from Miami?
Yeah, yeah.
I would definitely
or
like
New Orleans.
Be an exotic pet owner in one town. And then if I was like, no, this is lame and horrible, I got to change monkey diapers and buy expensive bird food. I would just leave them chicken in the apartment diapers. Before
the Ogopogo. You got to keep feeding turtles to the Ogopogo.
My favorite thing about the hashtag Ask Jesse is that famous actor and activist Jesse Williams also uses it with his Twitter following. And it is a nice blending of people asking the actor about things and people asking absolutely ridiculous life questions.
And as I do every week, I extend the invitation to Jesse Williams to come on and answer these questions with me.
I wish he would. Rude. He it's is pretty beautiful.
Rude. It's pretty rude that he is ignoring my offer, but.
Do we know if he's answering some of the questions intended for our Jesse, for Jesse Carroll? Yeah,
that's the funniest thing, because a lot of the questions...
I don't know why.
He's like, you know, he's like, 27's a real good age to start having kids.
I mean, it's like, it's a lot
it's
of Grey's Anatomy
you ask
questions.
That,
like, who's directing the next two episodes? Hashtag Ask Jesse. You know, like, there's so many Grey's Anatomy questions and then absolutely ridiculous ones from our listeners.
I really hope he does like answer that guy's question about how when does she start having children real earnestly. Yeah, I'm kind of interested on his take.
On the next very special Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, you play a doctor on TV medically.
I'm jumping back in for this season. I've taken a few seasons off and I am back into Grey's so really? Hard.
It's still going.
I didn't even know it's still on the air. Wow.
Yeah, I'm going down with that Titanic.
Is Ally McBeal?
No, but I wish. I would watch that in a heartbeat. I love that show.
Murphy Brown is back. Maybe they'll bring it back.
That's due for a return. That's due for a reboot.
But Grey's Anatomy, the weird thing, it never went away. It just always kind of been
out there.
Yeah,
it's like on season 17 or something insane like that.
I can see them like forgetting that it's still on and rebooting it. Like they did, like the inner office is like the Slack chain is a little bit off and they're like, we're bringing it back. We're getting the whole cast back together for Grey's Anatomy. And they're like, oh, I just thought this was episode 3,420. I didn't
know. Yeah, it's like the Spider-Man movies. It's like, hey, we're rebooting Spider-Man, but the other one's still going. Nah, it's fine. Just we're going to reboot it. Who cares?
You know? And lastly, this most of the questions we select are people who are facing a scenario, you know, a conundrum.
A fork in the road.
Their neighbors calling the cops on them the day they move into their home. You know, things that are like, we have a problem to solve. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of very specific questions that people want you to influence their life, Jesse.
Yeah.
Chad Finley said, my wife and I just found out we're having our fourth boy. We're at a loss for name. We're at a loss for baby names. We need advice, Jesse. Right. What should we name our son? Finley is the last name.
Chad Finley. That's this Finley. Man's name.
So the last name we're working with is Finley. And because it's a dude, this will be his name for his entire life, like the three of you have experienced.
I mean, my impulse is to do alliteration and rhyming. So like Friendly Finley. You know, I mean, I think give this kid a name that like, you know, people are like, oh, Friendly Friendly's here. Like every class he's in, it's like, I want to hang with Friendly Friendly. You know, it kind of blurs together. Either that or use the opportunity since you have three sons who I'm sure are well adjusted to go with a symbol this time. You know, it just so that when someone wants to address your son, they have to hand him a card with a symbol on it. You know, like the Prince thing. So I would go with something rhyming or something with that would have to do with handing your son, giving him business cards whenever he wants it be introduced to
something rhyming or something with similar letters or no letters at all.
Exactly.
Finn Finley or something like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got you. That's good.
Chinley Finley.
This seemed like since Mr. Feeney is such a icon of our culture and Feeney Finley is it doesn't quite rhyme.
Yeah.
It's a slant rhyme.
Yeah.
It's good though.
A slant rhyme.
All right, well, there's a lot more Ask Jesse stuff. Sorry we couldn't get to your life conundrums. Pose better scenarios and we'll pick it.
Or maybe you'll luck out and Jesse Williams will.
Maybe the other Jesse will get you.
Hit us up, hashtag Ask Jesse on Twitter and we'll do it again next Tuesday. Hey, thanks to Jesus Culture for joining us. Their new album, Living with a Fire, is out now. You can follow them on Twitter at Jesus Culture and you can probably do Ask Jesse questions to them too. You know, who knows?
Yeah. Why not?
Just spread it out. go check out the videos of the performances you heard today over on Relevant TV, the Relevant YouTube channel as well. And on the podcast episode page, we'll post them. Hey, thanks to Squarespace for making this episode possible. You can go to squarespace.com/relevant for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your site, use the offer code relevant to get 10% off your first purchase of a site or domain. And hey, don't forget, the new issue of Relevant is available now. It's featuring Johnny Swim, which again, if while you're on Relevant TV or the YouTube channel, we'll check out the performance videos that we did with Johnny Swim. We also have a couple of like interview videos with them. You can view the issue online at relevantmagazine.com, but if you want to subscribe, we actually want to give you the Johnny Swim issue for free. You can head over to relevantmagazine.com/ilovethepodcast to get your free issue of the new issue with Johnny Swim included or added on to your subscription. So go to relevantmagazine.com/ilovethepodcast to get this issue. The new one's at the printer. Can't wait for you guys to know about the next one. It's
very excited about that.
It's a good one. All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
Chandler Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Tyler Huckabee.
And I'm Annie F. Downs.
We will see you on Friday.
Thank you for listening to the Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe.
It's as if him and Jesus are the most uncomfortable Siamese twins ever.
Relevant Podcast Network.